Hi, I'm Jen.
And I'm Sophia.
And you're listening to Every Rom-Com Now, streaming for February of 2025.
Thanks for joining us today. Jennifer and I will be giving you some recommendations for rom-coms and rom-com adjacent movies and TV shows that are streaming right now.
But before we get started today, though, I do want to address both some podcast business and some world business. And I'll get right onto the world business first. So we're coming to you from February of 2025. Obviously, there's a lot going on in the United States in particular right now. And there have been times when I've thought that, you know, maybe a rom-com podcast seems like a frivolous thing, but I've decided to keep going for a few reasons. First of all, I do believe that people need time to rest their nervous systems and just find some distraction in this world. And certainly there are other film podcasts that are still releasing their episodes. So, you know, I think we're just as important as any other movie podcast. Secondly, I think our content is for the most part progressive, and I hope that it helps create the kind of world we'd like to see in the future. And finally, I'm disabled right now with long COVID. Various symptoms from long COVID make it pretty much impossible for me to do a lot of things I used to do. So podcasting is one of the only activities I can kind of manage at the moment. So it's kind of a way for me to contribute to the world. And the long COVID also gets into the state of the podcast. But before we talk about that, I just want to talk to you, Sophia. And is there anything you want to add about podcasting, about rom-coms in these times we're dealing with right now?
Well, I agree on, you know, this for the same reasons that we need some reprieve from the world at large and our daily lives. I'm a pre-K TA, so caring for small 4 and 5 year olds for even part-time, which is what I do, is a lot. Parenting a neurodivergent kid while managing my own neurodivergence is exhausting. And if there's any way that I can be creative, we people in the world can be creative and have some joy and fun, it's important right now. Especially the creative bit. You know, I think if we stopped because we think somehow it's not important, and that actually kind of comes up in the themes of the films I picked, unbeknownst. But I think creativity is really important right now. And I said, if, you know, nothing else, rom-coms tell us how to follow our hearts and that love and hope win. And if we can bring a little bit of that into our daily lives, then rom-coms forever.
Yeah, damn right, Sophia. Damn right. Yeah. And then just as to the state of the podcast, so I think I mentioned this before, but in case you didn't know, just a little bit over a year ago now, I got COVID. COVID turned into long COVID for me. So it's been difficult to get my equilibrium back and just figure out how to pace myself so I'm able to podcast again. Like, I'm dealing with a thing where if I sit upright, my heart rate goes way up and I can get faint and dizzy at times. Like, I have to prep myself to podcast now, people. So even though I sound super happy, it does take something out of me. But I seem to have figured out how to get going podcasting again. So hopefully we'll be coming back to you at least once a month, if not more often. And yeah, and we'll see how it goes for the rest of the year.
You can support us by subscribing to the podcast or following us on social media. Our Facebook page is Every Rom-Com Podcast and Blog. Our Instagram is at Every Rom-Com. And our, do we still call it Twitter?
I still call it Twitter. I'm not calling it something else. They can rename all this shit. It's going to be the Gulf of Mexico. It's going to be Denali. It's going to be Black History Month. It's going to be fucking Twitter. Sorry.
Yes. Well, yes, I'm with you. And our Twitter handle is at Every Rom-Com Pod. And we're also on Blue Sky at Every Rom-Com.
That's right. All right. And with all of that business out of the way, I'm going to lead off today with my first pick for now streaming. It is a fantastic movie from the 90s. And it also deals with some themes that are unfortunately very topical at the moment. So my first pick today is Mississippi Masala from 1991, which is currently streaming on Criterion and Max. So have you, first of all, I'll say, have you ever seen this one, Soph?
I've never seen it, but I feel like we've talked about it, and it's been on the long list of, like, I really need to see this film.
Yeah, I think you would really dig it. Like, I dug this movie in the 90s, And then I rewatched it a few years ago and again, like recently for this podcast. And it's really like my appreciation for it has deepened over time. So sure. Mississippi Masala is directed by Mira Nair. You might know her from movies like Monsoon Wedding. And it stars Denzel Washington and Sarita Chowdhury. And they are excellent in this film. They have great chemistry and like it's a love story. I find that this is a really good film for this moment in history, too, because this is a movie that deals with racism and xenophobia. It deals with a country being taken over by a dictator. In this case, it deals with Idi Amin. Idi Amin, in the beginning of the film, is expelling all people of Asian background from Uganda. And so the main family that we follow in this story, Sarita Chowdhury plays Mina. And her family is the one who was expelled from Uganda in her youth. They eventually end up living in Mississippi. And in the movie, Mina meets Demetrius, played by Denzel Washington. She meets him at a dance club, and gradually they get together. When it's found out that they're sleeping together, it causes tension between the Black and Asian cultures in their community. And it's kind of not quite like a Romeo and Juliet, because it's not really that as tragic as that. But it's definitely a culture clash kind of a movie. It's beautiful looking as well. This film is just like a gorgeous film to look at. The colors are amazing. The cinematography is amazing. Great acting, great chemistry between Washington and Chowdhury. If you're a Denzel Washington fan, in fact, and you haven't seen this movie, you really need to see this movie. I think it's probably his best romantic role I've ever seen. I think it's a really intelligent film as well in how it deals with racism and xenophobia. It also deals with colorism, like in the communities. And the movie is never really, it's never simplistic though, and it never feels didactic. The movie really, like it sort of suggests reasons why the individual characters have developed the prejudices they have. And it shows how different privilege interacts. So it's just a really great movie all along. I'm making it sound like more homework than it is. It's really not. It's a great love story. And it has an awesome soundtrack, which is another side note. Like, I love the music from this. So I just all around recommend it. Like, totally check it out if you haven't seen it. If you saw it in the 90s and haven't seen it recently, I also recommend rewatching it. So yeah, Mississippi Masala, currently on Criterion and Max.
Awesome. So when you asked me to do this, the first one I thought to share right away is Find Me Falling from 2024, just last year, and it's on Netflix. And it was written, directed, and produced by South African Cypriot. Her name is, I think it's Stellana Cleris. And it's starring Harry Connick Jr. So that's what drew me to it. It was like Harry Connick Jr. in Cyprus and like Greek things. And yeah. I was like, I'm there for it. So I was pleasantly surprised. I was not disappointed at all. He plays a rock star who had a comeback album that flopped. So he's kind of run away to Cyprus, bought this home on a cliff, sight unseen. And he comes to find out that, you know, he looks out the window and he sees someone jump off the cliff. And it's actually, he got it so cheap because that's what this little area is known for. And he's like, what the hell? And we also come to find out that this is the place where his like first love, old flame, lives. And so we get to see a little fish out of water, you know, a love rekindled. I love that kind of thing. I love it that they're older, middle age. They're not older. They're like our age, maybe a little bit older, whatever. And that, but I love that, you know, love never ends. Love knows no age. And they're singing. I love that too. I love that it's written and directed and produced by a woman. She does have another feature called Committed, which you can stream on Pride or Prime. Yeah, that came out in 2014. This has become my new favorite comfort rom-com. Like kind of the first couple weeks that it was out, I watched it like three times. It's nice. Easy. It really does make you feel good. You find love, community, family. And it's beautiful.
Great. I love a comfort rom-com. I did see that one streaming, and I thought about watching it. I just, for some reason, hadn't gotten around to it yet. So I'll definitely put that on my list. Thank you, Sophia.
Mm-hmm. My pleasure.
Well, my next pick is also on Netflix, and it is a reality dating show called The Later Daters. Now, I love dating shows. I don't love all of them, though. Like, Love is Blind is, like, Netflix's super popular one. And I watched the first season of it, and then I was like, never again. Because the thing I don't like about Love is Blind is they just drag the season out forever. And, like, now we have to have a reunion of everybody, but we're going to, like, take forever to get to anything interesting happening. And I'm just like, no, no, no. And so I don't like it when they do that. I don't like it when they just keep you watching just for a bunch of useless stuff you don't need, right? And drama. I don't really like all the drama either. So the later daters is more the style I like, which is like you follow these individual people on a series of kind of blind dates that this like sort of matchmaker person has set up for them. And I like that style because it's kind of like you watch the date, you watch the people interacting, and there's a little bit of fluff, but not much. And then you get out. Like, it's like maybe 45 minutes, an hour, an episode. And you're like, and you see a variety of different people going on their dates in that episode. Now, another thing I like about it is obviously it's called the later daters. So this is focusing on people, I believe it's 55 and over, who are trying to find love. And mm-hmm. I'm really glad that there is like now this dating show for like people who are a little bit older, people who are senior citizens, because I think it's probably much harder for people in that age bracket to find partners, just not only because of like availability being like less probably, but because the dating landscape has changed so much over the last 20 or 30 years, you know? So it's really cool watching these people like adjusting to things and like, and getting to date maybe in a more old fashioned way than like Tinder, right? Mm-hmm. So there's also like some good racial diversity on the show. Like there's no diversity of sexuality though. Okay. So it's just straight people and everything, but there is racial diversity and I think some cultural diversity. And I do, what I love though, is it really presents these older people as still being active and fun. They're looking for romance. They're looking for sex. Like I had a couple of my favorite people of the daters were Anise and Pam. And I thought they were both really like strong personalities, interesting women. Pam, funny enough, I guess was like the wife of some famous 70s rock star. I forget, like not like somebody super famous, but like famous enough that they mentioned the band in Almost Famous. So I'm just saying. And,
awesome.
And I just love dating shows. So if you are a person who loves dating shows, like if you've watched like Eliminate or Love Connection, or Netflix had this older one called Dating Around, which this is very similar to, I think you would enjoy the later daters. And I do like this. I do feel a little bit awkward about watching people going around to restaurants unmasked because like,
oh,
like now that I have long COVID, it's like, I would never, but I can turn that part of my brain off long enough to just be like, okay, I'm enjoying your date. Like,
yeah. So you said for adults over 55, that's not senior citizen yet, though, is it?
Isn't I mean, you 65? Get your AARP, you get your AARP card when you're 55, I think, or something
really?
Like that. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Senior citizenship, not too far away.
Yeah, man.
If there's perks, I'll take it.
Yeah, why
discounts
not?
Of some, yeah, for sure. all right, my second pick was What's Love Got to Do With It? Question mark. So not to be confused with What's Love Got to Do With It, the song, the Tina Turner biopic.
The Angela Bassett movie, yeah.
Yeah, so that's not this. This What's Love Got to Do With It? Question mark. That's the difference in title. It came out in 2022. It's been in my queue for a while. You can stream it on Hulu. And what initially drew me to this film was that it's Emma Thompson is in it, and you know, Emma Thompson forever. Mm-hmm. And it's a little bit of a spin on the boy / girl next door. She's British and he's first gen British. His family's from Pakistan. But they've grown up together as neighbors and their families are very close. And she's a documentary filmmaker that's found a little success. He's a doctor and he's decided that he's going to take a wife and that he's going to have his family help him with an arranged marriage. And she's like, what? Are you crazy? You really want to do it that way? And she winds up pitching this idea to her guest producer people to film him and, you know, film this process of going through and setting up an arranged marriage. And what you quickly learn from his name is Kaz. Kaz doesn't call it arranged. It's called assisted. You have an assisted marriage. Lily James plays the character Zoe, and Shahzad Latif plays Kaz. And if you are a Star Trek Discovery fan, he plays the character Ash Tyler, which is a big deal. Okay, if
you're all right, into Star Trek. I'll like, take your word for it.
Yeah. No. Okay. So you're as the story goes on, they go to Pakistan for the wedding. He's met a girl in Pakistan that he's agreed to marry, and so the scenery, the markets and things like that were awesome. My picks wound up also having like a very travelogue kind of thing to it. First, we start in Cyprus, then we start in London, then go over to Pakistan. And all the colors, and there's like a, you know, little Bollywood dance scene at the wedding. Always here for that. And you get to see the tension and, you know, the slow burn between Kaz and Zoe, and what's going to happen to them, and how they're dealing with their families, and how they're dealing with, you know, their life and what they want to be and how they want to be. And it's good. You see her really struggle with, you know, love and her identity as like just a single woman. Is that good enough? And she's got a career she's interested in building up. And, you know, how does all that play out?
I have seen this movie and I really enjoyed it when I watched it too. I watched it a year or two ago and I really liked it. So I'm glad you brought this forth. Yeah.
Yeah. I really liked it too. It had some of the big fat Greek wedding vibes with, you know, all the overbearing yet supportive and loving cultural importance of your family, but you're totally enmeshed. And some of us are unpacking that in therapy. So sometimes that's, it's a little much. Let's see. The director is Shekhar Kapoor, who directed Elizabeth in 1998 and Elizabeth the Golden Age in 2004. And it's the debut screenplay from Jemina Khan, who produced, she also produced What's Love Got to Do with It. And she herself is a documentary filmmaker. And she produced the likes of American Crime Story and The Clinton Affair. So another, unbeknownst to myself until I did research, all my films have a female writer or female director or female writer director, which I think is also pretty fabulous. I know. I was very excited about that.
Look at you go. All right. Well, speaking of, so you said you have a travel theme too. So speaking of travel, my third pick actually has a travel theme as well. So we're doing a lot of traveling. My third pick is I Know Where I'm Going, and it's from 1945. It is currently on Tubi, Criterion, and Prime. And it is written and directed by Michael Powell and Emmerich Pressburger, starring Wendy Hiller and Roger Livesey. And this pick is actually the one I'm really excited to talk to you about, Sophia, because I think you would, have you seen this? Because I think you would like it if you haven't. Okay, you need to put this on your list, because I think you would, I think you especially would dig this and appreciate this movie.
Okay.
And this movie was recommended to me, actually, by one of our past guests on Every Rom-Com, Poppy from the Confessions of a Closet Romantic podcast.
Yay, she love had, Poppy.
She, yeah, Poppy brought this one to my attention. So shout out to her. So I Know Where I'm Going is really cool because like it's one of those examples of, a lot of people seem to think that rom-coms as a genre sort of started in the 90s or maybe the 80s. They're so wrong, okay? The more older movies I watch, the more I see so many tropes that we take for granted from like 90s movies were being done in the 30s and 40s. And and here, this is like a prime example of that, like I Know Where I'm Going. But also it's done better than some of the ones that have tried to since imitate it. So one thing that film nerds will probably notice right away is the team of Michael Powell and Emmerich Pressburger, because they're known for like such cinema classics as The Red Shoes and Black Narcissus. And I've seen both of those too. They are extraordinary films. Those are really known for their kind of vibrant colors and like sort of dramatic backdrops and so forth. This is a black and white film, but you can definitely see the commonalities in some of the way it's filmed and just like sort of the dramatic moodiness of everything. Like it's a little bit OTT at times, it's a little bit over the top, and that's kind of their style. You know what I mean? But like in a good way, in a good way. So the basic story of this movie is basically a young woman who's very determined. And she's decided to marry this rich older man because she wants to, you know, her whole life she's wanted to be rich and comfortable. So the story is she's traveling to Scotland, and particularly the Hebrides, like these islands in Scotland that are kind of like far away. She travels to Scotland to marry him, and she becomes stuck just before she gets to the island of Killoran, where she's supposed to get married. And where she is stuck, she becomes gradually attracted to a younger man who's also trying to reach the same island. And he's on leave from the Navy during World War II. You said, I heard you going, okay, have you seen this? Like, is it coming back to you?
Or? No, but I love that it takes place in Scotland.
I'm
a nut for Scotland. And so there's a little older woman, younger man theme going on?
Oh, no. They're both kind of young. Yeah.
Oh,
no, no,
okay.
No. In fact, he's older than her. But yeah.
Oh, okay. It's a younger man to the one that she's from. The one she's.
Yes.
Gonna
yes.
Got it.
Yes,
got it. Got
yes,
it.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So the Scotland stuff, though, Sophia. The Scotland stuff, Sophia, you would love because, like, it's shot outdoors. Like, it's not fake Scotland. It's real Scotland. It's in black and white, but it's like definitely the real place. Like, and I also think you just like the story because, like, I think there were things both of us liked about Leap Year, but like there were a lot of problems with Leap Year.
This is
like if Leap Year was like really good.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because it's got the kind of fish out of water where the person from the city is interacting with people from a more rural area kind of thing. And like experiencing their lifestyle. It's got like music and dance, a wedding scene type things. And then it's got this like interaction with like the guy that she didn't expect to like, you know what I mean? So I think I Know Where I'm Going has really got it all. And I really just put it on your queue, Sophia. I think you would love it. Like, I mean, it's obviously like it's in black and white. And so it's not as glossy as some modern rom-coms, but it's beautiful. And I think as a film person, I think you'll really appreciate it. So.
Oh my gosh. I can't wait. It sounds wonderful. Right up my alley. Right up my alley.
And are we going to travel more in your next pick? I see the title looks like we might be traveling more.
Yeah, we travel in all of them.
Nice.
My next pick is Lonely Planet from 2024. So just recently, also streaming on Netflix. I just jumped on you. I'm like, oh, a younger man, older woman theme, because this is what Lonely Planet has, that May-December storyline, which is kind of popular right now. I picked it because it looked really dreamy. It stars Laura Dern. She's been around for ages. She's an Oscar winner. And Liam Hemsworth, who I don't think I've actually seen a movie with him in. I've just seen, shots, like pictures of the films that he is in. And he's beautiful. He is really handsome. And so I'm like, let's go for it. And the location is Morocco. It takes place in Morocco for a writer's retreat. The Laura Dern character is a writer, and the Liam Hemsworth character is there because he's the boyfriend of a writer. That girl is a debut best-selling author, and they've all been invited to this writer's retreat. And the writer's retreat reminds me of the beginning of Before Midnight when they're at that villa in Greece for a writer's retreat, and all these eccentric kind of egotistical writers, and they're all weird and goofy, and they show a lot of that, and I got a kick out of it. And I'm curious about these May-December storylines, particularly with a woman is older, because I really want to see how they're told, how they play out. And I liked this one in Lonely Planet because she's a really confident woman, even though she's going through a relationship that's falling apart, and she grapples with it. She's basically told she's not a good person because when she's writing, she's an awful person, and she's a writer. That's what she does for a living. And but she's not self-conscious about her age. She's not self-conscious about her body. There's none of this like, what will people think if we're together vibe. And I really appreciated that. It was like two people drawn to each other.
Nice.
Two people in a situation where they're, trying to figure out their lives, both of them. And she does at one point comment on his age, and I need to go back and kind of see how I feel about that. But overall, I really liked their journeys. And part of the question of the film is like, as you're trying to find your identity, are you finding it alone or are you finding it in relationship? I liked it. And nice. I liked its pacing. It was a slower paced. It was very dreamy scenery, you know, Morocco. And yeah, you see, you know, a little village that they get stuck in and sheep herders and just a culture that's completely different from my own and these characters' own. It reminded me, did you ever see Cairo Time?
No, I haven't. No.
Okay. It's got a lot of that feel of slower paced and two people kind of brought together, and a lot of the Before trilogy, you know, strangers meet and are kind of stuck where they are and find a connection.
You're making me want to do another travel series like we did at the beginning of the podcast. Travel rom-coms.
Yeah. That was fun. I didn't mean to, but it's cold right now. It's snowing really bad. Sure. So this was me getting away.
Yeah. Well, my last pick, I cannot tie into anything else previous, unfortunately. Sure. But this is my last pick is No Time for Love from 1943, which is on the Criterion Channel. It's in their Claudette Colbert collection, which is one of their new collections this month. I'm going to put in a plug right here. I really find the Criterion Channel is the best value streaming service there is, because once you pay for it, you're not getting any ads or any junk. You just get really great movies that have been curated thoughtfully and have the best print that's available, and a lot of stuff you're not going to be able to find elsewhere. So if we end up down to just one streaming service ever, it will be Criterion. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I also love too, because it's free and it has so much cool stuff, but like of the paid ones, Criterion is my jam. Anyway, so No Time for Love is in their Claudette Colbert collection right now, and it stars Claudette Colbert with Fred McMurray. And okay, I don't know if I should be embarrassed by this, but like I somehow have gotten a crush on Fred McMurray of all people in the year 2024. Last year, I got a crush on him, and I've been like sort of, I rewatched Double Indemnity, which just completely reignited that. And it's kind of funny.
No shame, Jen. No shame.
Anyway, Fred McMurray, this is one of the many movies he did with Claudette Colbert. And I feel like this is the most attractive he's looked in one of the movies I've seen, other than Double Indemnity itself and Remember the Night with Barbara Stanwyck. Those two were both with Barbara Stanwyck. So this is another very tropey movie, okay? So if you are the kind of person who would read a romance novel about a woman and a construction worker, or you want to watch the Hallmark movie about the lady who goes back home from her big city and meets the small town farmer, this is yours. This is your jam right here. Because this is Claudette Colbert's character is a photojournalist, and she gets sent on this assignment to take pictures of people digging an underground tunnel. And she meets McMurray, and she kind of gets him in trouble because she takes a picture of him while he's fighting with some other tunnel workers. And it ends up in the magazine unbeknownst to her. So she ends up hiring him as her assistant because she feels bad that he got fired. And then sparks kind of begin to fly between the two of them. And it's kind of silly. Okay. It's so silly that there's a dream sequence at one point where Claudette Colbert imagines that he's turned into Superman and he's flying around and rescuing her. He's wearing this fake Superman outfit because they can't have the real Superman. And it's a whole thing. He's also appears without a shirt on in this movie. So if you're for some reason, there's another weird person out there who just got a crush on Fred McMurray, there you go. Fred McMurray shirtless. All you need right there. Yep.
That's awesome.
I'm laughing at myself right now, basically. But they have really good chemistry in this movie. I've seen a few of their other pairings together now, too, because they have a few of them on the Criterion Channel. I think their chemistry works best in this one. Yeah, so far of the ones I've seen. But there's some other good ones they did together, too. And I mean, this movie is super not politically correct. So if you need there to be enthusiastic consent before somebody gets kissed, this is not your film. But if you don't mind something tropey and silly and definitely from the 40s, there you go. No Time for Love, Criterion Channel.
Awesome. This next one, my last one, is also pretty tropey and pretty hits the rom-com plot points, but forgivable. It was enjoyable. It was The Book of Love from 2022, and you can stream it on Prime. It's starring Sam Claflin. He's Mr. Hot One on Prime and on some on Netflix, and he's He's got beautiful cheekbones. And so, of course, why wouldn't you put him in all your hot guy roles? I was drawn to this film for its basic premise about a British author who writes a flop of a love story, but its Spanish translation is a big hit in Mexico because the woman translator spiced it up into a real romance novel. And as a romance novel enthusiast, I was like, sign me up for this one. So, and it was, you know, he has to go to Mexico to promote the book and meet her, and they don't like each other. So we've got fish out of water, enemies to lovers stuff going on. And, you know, it can be forgiven, all of those tropes, because they, you know, I got invested. I wanted to see how it unfolded and how they got together. And you like them. They're likable people. I was actually really kind of more invested in his character as a writer, because he writes this book. It's not a love story. It's crap as a love story, but it's his book and he put his heart and soul into it and it's important to him. And so they make fun of how bad it is. And like, you know, it was basically rewritten. Now it's a hit and now we can all make some money. And, you know, his publisher's like, we can all make a little money. And then the publisher in Mexico is like, we all got to pay the bills. And yes, true. We want to like pay our bills, pay the rent, but like also like, you know, your art by this. So I was feeling really sad for him and badly. And just that dynamic of creativity and your creativity being like farmed out to make money and that balance. And again, it's quote, just a silly rom-com, but those things mean something to me. Yeah. And I'm like, gosh, I felt bad. So that was my two cents on that. And the landscapes in Mexico were beautiful and I want to go visit and vacation there. The fans that come to all the readings of the novel are hilarious and they're just, you know, really cute. And at the ending has like a big telenovela kind of vibe where it's like, I'm her husband. She's married to me. What? You're married to, you know, it was because they make fun of telenovelas in the film too, sure. Or he criticizes them, but like they have this big ending. Also, it was directed by, let's see if I say her name correctly, Annalene Kelly-Mayer. It was directed by her and co-written by her with David Quantick. So again, written and directed by a woman. Didn't know it, but there you have it.
You did a good job with bringing in the women empowerment on this episode. Yeah.
Thanks. But like I said, I really didn't mean to. Like, I love that they were already there, you know?
Yeah. I think there's definitely more women being given a shot lately in streaming movies. Yeah. Like, I've seen a lot more women directors. I don't know if that's scientifically true, but I really do feel like on streaming, straight to streaming movies, we're seeing more women directors coming up in there.
Yeah. So. I think I've seen that as well. So again, no hard facts, but just in my observation here and by chanceness. So cool.
Well, thank you so much, Sophia, for joining me today. And thanks everyone for joining us today on Every Romcom. Remember, you can send us feedback at feedback@everyromcom.com. And please let us know what you're streaming and loving these days.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Goodbye.